Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We're going to get to a couple of local stories shortly, but first, speaking of local, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:04. We give it off to not Dr. Jill Biden, the great Dawn Stensland.
Dr. Jill Biden. That's bizarre. You got Jill on the brain.
I've got Jilly on the brain.
Jill Biden on the brain.
I got Philly Jilly on the skull.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, on this Wednesday, May 14th, 59 degrees, raw, rainy. The rain is letting up a little bit, but a lot of water on the roadways and multiple accidents across our entire region. So on this miserable rainy morning, be safe as you're out there driving, if you have to be. One person killed, two others injured. That was in this shooting that happened in Philadelphia's Kensington section early this morning, and police on the scene well into, they were still on the scene, I think still at about 5-6 o'clock this morning out in this pouring rain. So this thing actually went down about 4 o'clock this morning, intersection of Hope and West Cabrera Streets. Police say a 42-year-old man in the driver's seat of the pickup truck was shot to death, shot in the head, execution style. 49-year-old man in the passenger seat, we're told, is in critical condition. He was rushed to the hospital. And then a third victim showed up on his own, apparently, or somebody dropped him off at a different hospital by private vehicle. And police say this is all interconnected. So police looking into whether this particular shooting, that this all began at 4 o'clock this morning, is this related to another shooting that happened late last night in the neighborhood that was about 5 blocks away on Hope Street, where another 42-year-old guy was shot and killed. So there are always multiple, you know, surveillance cameras that keep the receipts. Police working out in this torrential rain, but this is as they try to track this and pick up all those bullet casings. And it's one of those things where, once again, you're looking at maybe 20 bullet casings that they have to pick up. It's pouring rain and trying to, you know, keep the integrity of the scene, if you will, on this rainy morning. But it's just, it's the same story, whether it's rain or no rain, that we see these shootings happening either late in the night or in the wee hours of this morning.
And it's never just one or two bullets, Dawn.
No.
It's always a clip or a clip plus, like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, they're not worried about the cost of them, are they?
No,
very expensive.
No. But if you're going to purchase them, criminals, seriously, go to King Shooter Supply, Henderson Road, King of Prussia.
I'll take you to another story, and this is the hiring of a new superintendent. This is in a different Bucks County district, the Centennial School District in Bucks County. So the current superintendent is Dana Bedden, Mr. Bedden's last day on the job is actually June 30th upcoming. So the Centennial School District Board of Directors, they're going to be voting coming up May 27th on the employment agreement that they've come to with Dr. Abram Lukabaugh to serve as their next superintendent. And so he's very impressive. But there were parents who came out. I don't know if all of these parents are with Centennial or are they from Abe Lukabaugh? His name sounds familiar. Remember, he was from Central Bucks School District, if you remember his name. He was somebody who, the headlines this morning, they're claiming that he was anti-LGBTQ+. Lukabaugh has said that he simply wanted to keep the sexualization of children out of the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And he, remember him?
What a radical.
And he was somebody who said, kids can wear whatever bracelets and jewelry and accessories they want, but we're going to keep the only flag allowed in any classroom. And the board at the time supported it. But he was somebody who said, let's just have the American flag, no other flags.
Such a right wing nut job, that guy. That poor guy. He should never work in education again.
So I'll just remind you of Dr. Abe Lukabaugh and what he did when he was this superintendent. And he was forced out with that, all of the, remember, that was a raucous situation in Central Bucks.
Yeah, that was the height of the culture wars leading up to midterms,
it
right?
It was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then they switched from R to D.
Yep.
And that's when Democrats centralized from D.C. nationally pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into that board race. But for Lukabaugh, I'll just bring you back to the summer. It was actually June, July of 2 years ago. And it was a 31-year-old teacher who taught at Central Buck South and CB West after Luke Abaugh was the one who said this guy was suspended with pay pending an investigation of allegations of misconduct. So in this case, this 31-year-old teacher, Michael London, at the time, was accused by some students of improper behavior. The actual DA's office, whatever was going on, they had said that they, the DA's initial investigation said they did not find any evidence of criminality. Abe Leukebaugh believed the child victims, and they did their own investigation, paid private investigators, and then they sure found criminal evidence. And so I'll just remind you of that because that was never in the headlines, but this guy was credited by many parents at the time because he was persistent in his pursuit of keeping predators and pedophiles out of our local schools.
I don't know how you can't get behind that, man, but apparently some people can't.
So, you know, in this one, I know he's getting, you know, once again, I think it's unfair, the local media, the stance that they're taking, and I feel they're, in truth, they're not reporting what this particular superintendent did at the time.
Of course not.
You know?
Of course not. I'm sure the Philadelphia Inquirer or any local TV channels are not going to give the proper perspective on this, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So we have that going on. And by the way, as far as Centennial School District, those insiders are saying he'll be the new superintendent. So we'll see. We'll follow it. It's May 27th is that vote. Just want to put that in perspective and give you the, you know, put the all the sides of the story in the headlines. Inflation cooling. That was one of the big headlines yesterday as we look at what's going on worldwide with Trump, obviously in Saudi Arabia, kind of taking that victory lap. I know we'll get to all of that on Greg's cut sheet. So much happening. I will also point out to you, they kept saying that the Saudis had rolled out the red carpet, but it was a purple carpet because that's the royal color. So that's why he wore the purple tie. And that's why all the carpets and everything you saw, they physically put out a purple carpet for Trump and the Trump team.
They also rolled out the golden arches for Trump.
Oh, did you
they
see
did
that?
With McDonald's.
Play cut one, Phil, if you have it. This is amazing. Look at this. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. They trucked in a McDonald's.
This is the best.
Almost food truck, right? I mean, that's like a food truck.
Yeah, I'll take a quarter pounder and a hummus.
Yeah. What? I mean, what did they like? What's their burgers made out of? Like,
yeah,
camel,
camel's hump.
Well, they had all kinds of caviar and all this food, yeah. And then this rolls up, and you know, I think Trump would rather have the Mickey D's than the caviar, quite frankly.
Well, so would I. Actually, I hate caviar.
I got to tell you guys, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a libertarian. Trump's speech yesterday in Saudi Arabia was just music to my ears as far as non-interventionist and like stop with these forever wars and rebuilding countries. And I feel like yesterday's speech that Trump gave officially put the death knell into the neocon wing of the Republican Party, which is shocking to me because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that I was on morning radio and I was sitting here yelling about the Bush administration, not making many fans, mm-hmm. You know, yelling about the Bush administration and how, you know, they all they want to do is, you know, war,
sure.
war. And everybody at that time was like, oh, America, love it or leave it. Oh, love it or leave it. I was just like, you guys are going to regret this. You don't know what you're talking about. Iraq is weapons of mass destruction.
WMD.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at you making friends and fans with the Trump base.
No, I just it's
mark the tape, Jimbo.
It's amazing. It's that speech, and I'll play some of it. I you know, to hear a Republican president saying that, it's just I never thought I would hear that in my lifetime. Honestly,
forgive me for not giving proper credit, but it was either Dawn or Greg. One of you said it yesterday, kind of in passing. Did you notice? And this is I'm paraphrasing what one of you said.
I said it.
He bypassed Bibi.
Yeah. Well,
which is interesting.
I have to say this.
Because I got texts about that all day yesterday.
I'm wondering how Ben Shapiro Mark Levin, those guys feel about Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
look, I have an issue with, you know, with bowing down to the Saudis. It's not just him, by the way. Every president does it. I have a huge problem with that because I believe, you know, Saudi Arabia funds terrorists.
Well, they do.
And you know, was directly involved in 9/11.
They were.
But the, you know, to go over there and try and just be like, no, I'm done with all of these wars and all of this. Like, we're like, everybody mind their own S, mm-hmm. you know, to be blunt. It was a breath of fresh air to hear, honestly. Yeah.
And he also said, I reposted Senator Dave McCormick commenting on this, but he also said that Iran should be denuked, if you will.
Yes, they should. Absolutely. By the way, speaking of McCormick, I got like 17 tweets yesterday.
I know.
And I'm not criticizing the audience. I'm glad you sent me this and passed it along because I was not aware of this. I guess on one of the Fox Sunday shows, there was a graphic put up of Republican senators that oppose the defunding of USAID from DOGE. And McCormick is on the list. He joined the ranks of Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott and Mark Wayne Mullins from Oklahoma.
Yep.
We're going to need I've never had Dave on the show, but anybody that has a relationship with Dave, that's got to be numero uno, question number one.
I just had him on like the day before that vote. Yeah, darn it.
Next time you get him on, you got to ask.
Got some explaining to do.
I'm willing to hear you out, but, you know, I thought we were on board with cutting the waste, fraud, and abuse.
So President Trump meeting with Syria's leader in Saudi Arabia, and basically it's today because they're obviously many hours ahead of us, but he's announcing these plans to lift the sanctions, which punish the Syrian economy. He attended a final event in Saudi Arabia, meeting with the leaders of Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, before departing for Qatar on the second leg of his trip. And so at this point, Trump plans to participate in the state visit and a state dinner with those Qatari leaders. And by the way, I know that the Dems are planning, they're putting up a big sign outside Mar-a-Lago that says Qatar-a-Lago.
That's funny.
Are they going to have any 62-year-old women with masks on singing?
That is also funny.
I don't know.
Qatar-a-Lago.
By the way, he defended it yesterday by basically saying, hey, our like these other countries have these amazing planes. Why can't we have an amazing plane? So, yeah. Okay. So we're just going to do it because their planes are cooler than ours.
Let me give you the most. I thought about this yesterday because I do have Trump plane fatigue, but I know that the Politico stories out there with the plane being not so free. And I just wanted this to me should be the most simplistic answer if you just think about any type of gift or expense logically. Yeah. Keep in mind, Air Force One, a little bit dated. If Air Force One is as dated as they claim, ask yourself this. What are the costs to modernize it? You know, we've seen plenty of stories in Newark, Atlanta, and elsewhere of dated FAA infrastructure. We've also seen Boeing planes that have been crapping out. So if it's cheaper to upgrade the current Air Force One on our tax dollars, then do that. But if it's not, and if upgrading the standards on this plane from the Saudis as a gift requires a higher cost, which comes out of our pockets, then you should not be happy about it. Because I believe the specifics were, with this new palace plane, it's not equipped safety-wise based on the requirements to tout around the president, right, to protect him and his well-being. So just look at his current plane, look at the new plane. Whatever one is cheaper for the American taxpayer to fund, that should be your answer to the whole story and the whole drama.
Well, I think once he announced, so I wonder if people feel differently once he announced that the Saudis, and with all that biggity big business investment that the Saudis are making, $600 billion, you know, invested into the American economy, et cetera. So I just wonder if people feel, because the way that the way that they've described it is more of a barter that, hey, we're packing this into. You know, it's not, they're saying it's not a gift. I'm just giving you the talking point, the narrative from the Saudis. It's not a gift. It's a loaner until you guys can get your S together, you know, and get an up-to-date plane that's not 40 years old.
A loaner.
It's a loner.
Well, it's like Piazza.
It's like basically
a Land
like,
Rover loner.
It's basically like Enterprise or Avis.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? It's a Riyadh rental. That's what that is.
We don't need, I mean, especially, you know, since we have a billionaire for our president, we don't need somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, he has his own money. Like he can.
Yeah, he's working for free. He doesn't make a salary.
Okay. But we don't need to, if he wants a palace in the sky, then buy it himself.
By the way, if I was ever a billionaire president, I would still take the $400,000 a year.
Well, he didn't, though. He donates it.
I know.
Which he's done.
I wouldn't, though. I'd be like, you know, I want that, too.
That's because he's making a killing off of crypto. He doesn't need that paltry
amazing.
$400,000.
He's 78 and knows how to make money on crypto. I can't figure out the pin pad at Giant now.
Check his bank account with meme coins.
I know.
Nothing shady going on there.
Wow. It's very transparent, Greg. We can all look it up. It's all there.
In 6 minutes.
Right out there. It's not like the Bidens.
Can we?
Through phony LLCs.
So we can see who's
absolutely
who's putting money in there? Okay.
It's all transparent.
All right, Mommy Crypto. You know everything.
That's right. That's my new name, Mommy Crypto, baby.
Mommy Crypto.
MC.
In 6 minutes, Stalker went from praising Trump to dumping on him on Bitcoin.
That's right. Mommy Crypto.
You never know what's going to happen, folks.
That's right.
Every segment matters.
We have to do a break.
Yes, we do.
And the nation's top health official, RFK Jr., he's going to face questions today in D.C. from lawmakers. And as well, he went swimming in this gross...
Yeah, sewage. Raw sewage.
A la George Carlin, maybe?
I have to show my grandkids.
It is bizarre that guy monitors every calorie that goes into his body, but he'll jump into acid.
Just so you know, he went into like one of those natural springs, but there was a big sign on it that says
it was closed from
high levels of bacteria.
Ew.
So. He's like, you know, back in the day when you do the little rope swing in the summer into the creek.
A little bacteria never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
A little bacteria. I'm going to
toughened you up.
I'm gonna stand up for my buddy RFK Jr.
We'll do a Kale and Company quarry jump with Bobby.
I used to jump into quarries all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God only knows what was where did I grow up? I grew up in the Sleep Belt.
Yeah.
Bunch of hicks up there.
Nothing to do in Bangor. Jump into dirty water.
I jumped in dirty water all the time. I think it was good for me. You know what I mean? I was from like 17 to 40, you know, until I had a disgusting child. I was never sick.
What's dirtier, quarries or kids?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we swim in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Who cares?
Swim from Alcatraz.
I know liberals want to make a big deal out of RFK Jr. swimming in a sewage infestation.
That's all they have now.
It's not sewage. It's just bacteria.
It's all they have.
Yeah.
What Bobby's jumping into, what Trump's flying in, they're out of bullets.
Yep.
They're grasping at straws. It's over.
I think that we should all swim in bacteria-laden water.
Ew.
It might make us more tough.
Yeah.
It's gross.
I'll give you one quick prediction before we wrap up the segment. By the way, this is still Dawn's News. If Trump strikes the true trade deal with China before Labor Day,
China.
Red wave in the midterms. The one that didn't come in 2022, the one that did come with the general election in 2024. If that trade deal is great for America, it's curtains for the Democrats in the midterms.
Ruh-roh. Hey, by the way, all this rain, because we're going to get to the forecast, led to the Phillies postponing last night's game against the St. Louis Cardinals at Citizens Bank Park. So I don't know how they're going to get these games in, but it's a double today. So 105 for the Phils, and then another of the second game scheduled for 6:15. So fans who have tickets for last night's game can use them for tonight's game.
Cool. And it's going to rain all day today.
It's going to rain all day. I don't know.
Right.
So then they're going to be like
gonna
two
be,
behind.
They're going to be playing St. Louis at the end of September.
So, Nick, I don't know if this forecast is going to improve. You think they'll get either game in this evening at Citizens Bank Park?
I'm going to say no, Dawn. Here's your weather. It's raining. and it will rain until further notice. Weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. Yeah. That's MTRuhl.com.
You need a Generac right now if you lose power because of that the stupid rain.
Yep, that's correct. All right, calls 855-839-1210, and then also we have a local story in the world of track and field with a transgender athlete. Kale and Company, but first a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about the flagship brand, and that is Honda. Right now, you can lease the popular 2025 Civic and the HR-V, both of them, either one of them, starting at $249 per month. The Civic offers sporty performance, while the all-wheel drive HR-V provides the versatility needed for every drive. That's a new 2025 Civic or the HR-V, just $249 per month for 36 months, but this offer will not last long. So visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or my location, which is Springfield. You could do that today or whenever the rain clears out. But if it's too rainy, shop online. PiazzaHonda.com leases with $29.99 down plus tax and tags at 10,000 miles per year for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Oh, you got to talk about Kitchen Magic. You know, at Kitchen Magic, they believe the heart of your home deserves American-made high quality that you can trust. And that's why Kitchen Magic manufactures all of their products right in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So, of course, you're not going to face any kind of shipping delays or any possible tariff surprises or any surprises, quite frankly, because Kitchen Magic is local, family-owned, and they're proud of their reliable services that they offer. Custom kitchen remodeling that you can count on. This May, this month only, enjoy up to 30% off your dream kitchen. Visit KitchenMagic.com. Schedule your free design consultation today. 30% off. What are you waiting for? KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dr. Jill and the cover-up and everybody that was involved in trying to conceal Joe Biden's health while simultaneously saying, you don't know what you're seeing and you don't know what you're hearing. Wayne is up first. He's in Levittown. He's on Kale and Company. What's up, Wayne?
Good morning, crew. No, I just wanted to say to Nick and Greg, you guys were right on the money with Joe Biden. But Dawn, I don't know how, can you please stop defending her? If your husband kept going out there and stumbling and fumbling and messing up speeches and everything, and you're just going to keep pushing him out there? You're his wife. You're going to let him keep embarrassing himself? And
my point is this, though.
For another term, also.
My point is, what about all of the cabinet?
Everybody around him.
Why does everybody want to blame the wife?
You're his wife.
I know. Everybody wants to blame the wife, not all the career politicians who were right there in Biden's cabinet, who were right there supporting him. You don't know.
You're the one that should be protecting him. You're the one that should be making sure that he don't embarrass himself. You shouldn't want to push him out there.
So have you talked to Jill Biden? Do you know if she tried? We have no idea what happened behind the scenes.
Let's run him out there for another term. You're his wife. Don't embarrass the gentleman like that. That's you can't blame everybody else. You got to blame her.
My point is this: that I can blame those whose salaries I pay. Okay, we as taxpayers, we paid all of those. You know, Pete Buttigieg, who's going to run for president now. That's what he's saying, right?
With a beard.
So let's make him accountable. Let's make Gavin Newsom accountable. Let's make Nancy Pelosi accountable. Let's make Mayorkas. And what about all of those individuals who are living off of the money we provide for them for their salaries? Because I can make them accountable because they were there on the job. So I'm not saying that she gets a pass, but I'm saying she is toward the bottom of my list of people. I want to make those public officials, those swamp members who have been living off the government teat for pretty much their entire adult lives.
Joe Biden,
make
too.
Them, okay, put her on the list, but she's like number 52 on the list.
Oh, she's number one.
I'm simply saying, why aren't you calling out his entire cabinet member? Well, cabinet.
They're all complicit. I just feel like you're as a spouse, you're around your husband/president of the United States more than any of these people are. Look, they're all guilty. I just found it interesting, and I'll actually bring it back to my my wife's parents. Well, we talk about all the characters that are content on this show from my wife's side. So my mother-in-law, we know she's got stage 5 TDS. But I also told you the reason I took the only two vaccines in 2021 in March was because the in-laws were coming down to Nashville, and my father-in-law was dealing with diabetes and cancer, right? Remember, this was before we knew that, you know, we were told, you know, the vaccine, you get the vaccine and COVID stops with you. You won't kill anybody that's immune compromised, right? So my father-in-law has been dealing with diabetes and cancer for about the last 6 years. He's now 65. And the reason I bring this up is because he and my mother-in-law own a small business. Not only do they have gourmet pretzel stores in what they used to call things like a mall, but they also do a concession and catering business that travels between Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Point being, my father-in-law, for years and years and years, would be the mule. He was the guy carrying the big heavy grills, right? The big fryers, putting them on, you know, the rolling carts and just killing himself, right? My mother-in-law would handle the business aspect of it, you know, the booking of the events, the accounting, the finances, all of that. Point being, my mother-in-law, super, super capitalist. She loves money. Even she said, after my father-in-law went through cancer and diabetes, she said, Dan, you cannot kill yourself each and every day with these. You're just worn down. You're physically a shell of yourself. This is at 62. Now, fast forward to Joe Biden, 81 years old, not killing himself, working as the president of the United States. He's not hauling around fryers and ovens. And Jill was like, yeah, you got four more in you. Keep that gravy train rolling. That's my point.
Yep, my only point with all of this is I'm not saying she should be off the list, right? Because as a wife, you would hope that a spouse would be the one to protect the legacy of their loved one and protect their dignity, which I think at the end of the day is what they robbed this man of. But and remember the Easter Bunny and people laughed at it. Actually, it was elder abuse. I agree with that. But I'm simply saying, all of these people who are going to be running for president in 2028 and all of the pundits and all of the president's men and all of his cabinet members, they're not going away. They're still all in that arena. And let's call them out every time they're in the public eye. Let's make sure that we don't forget that all of those people were, and the Wall Street Journal did a huge piece on it last December, how they all knew. I mean, every one of them, they knew that Biden was diminished. And the entire administration was covering this up.
855-839-1210. Let's grab one last call before we get to Tony Bruno and the cut sheet. By the way, if we don't get to this White Marsh video, we can use this in the cut sheet. I got to talk about this. All the stories that we have talked about with trans athletes across the country. Now we have one legitimately right here in our backyard beyond the Riley Gaines, Leah Thomas stuff from years ago. Kathy, I'm assuming, is listening on the Odyssey app. Because she is in Michigan.
Michigan.
Kathy, good morning. How are you?
I listen on Alexa, but I also watch on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
Alexa and YouTube, we like it.
Did you hit the subscribe button and the like button, Miss Kathy?
Oh, yeah, but right. For some reason, YouTube won't let me make comments. But
what did you do?
Protection. I don't know what. But I can't make comments on YouTube.
Oh. Well, you can make your comments right now on the radio. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I get what Dawn is saying. There's a lot of people who are complicit. But Dr. Jill knew her husband was in decline. She covered for him. Think about Woodrow Wilson's wife. He had a stroke. I was watching a thing on Glenn Beck. She hid his stroke and his condition for 2 years and made all the decisions. She'd run in and say, oh, yeah, he says this and he says that. Nancy Reagan, we know, hid the condition of Ronald Reagan when he was getting dementia.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton knew her husband was a cheater, and she stood by her man. Okay, so that's what wives do. But you could see it. My husband has Parkinson's. I don't go out and tell people he has Parkinson's. I treat him like a normal person. But I can see the decline. And if he was running for president, I'd say, honey, I don't think you should do that. She wanted to stay in the White House. She wanted to keep the power just like everybody else did. There was a time when she was standing, they were standing by the helicopter, and she had to help him put his coat on. I do that with my husband almost every day when he goes to put his coat on. I got to help him. So I know that she saw the decline. And after the speech, she was seen saying, oh, Joe, you did such a great job. You answered all the questions. What would Melania talk to Trump like that? She talked to him like a child, like a parent would speak to a child. She knew. So she's just as complicit as everybody else. And I get what Dawn is saying, that everybody else, and if they're running for office, but Democrats want to hold on to the power, and she wanted to stay in the White House. Yeah. She did not want, in fact, after he said he wouldn't run, there was a time when they were getting out of the beast, and she just dropped his hand and walked away from him.
I think more than the power, though, Kathy, I think it's about the money. Right. We've heard the reports that the Biden funds have dried up, because now that Joe's out of office, he's not going to have that same access, that same stroke, the same sway. Right. Hunter Biden. We all knew Hunter Biden was not making millions on his paintings. His paintings are trash. He's an amateur, not a real painter. He's got no artistic ability. None of these people were making all this money based on pure merit. They were making their money based on the influence of the name, right? We heard this from Slapnuts, Comer, or Comey, whoever the hell is, whatever the guy that was just doing all this nonsense with these investigations where they never could really finish off the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's. Checks, bank fraud, bank wiring, all this money going around to every person with the last name Biden. That's what this was about. That's not so much about Jill and the power. It's about Jill and the money.
You know what I'm more interested in?
What's that?
How did Kathy find us in Michigan?
That's a good question.
I should have asked her that.
YouTube and Alexis, she said?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, does she just...
Or does she have ties to this area?
Maybe she said, hey, Alexa, play me the best morning show in talk radio.
Yeah, baby.
Seriously, I know there's a lot of people on the YouTube chat and stuff that are not from the Philly area.
Right.
Like, how did you find us? Do you just search out live shows, you know, because other morning shows purport to be live, but they're actually not?
Or local, and they're actually not.
So I'm just curious how, like, is there some sort of algorithm that comes in, you know, like Nick said, you know, greatest morning shows in the history of radio. I don't know.
I'm just possible.
Curious.
It's possible, folks. You never know.
Yes.
Ask them. We should ask Kathy how she found this.
Yes.
I just want all of you to remember Jake Sullivan and who was the whisperer and the fixer, Zince, one of his top guys. Yeah. What about Barack Obama? He was on with a late night pundit, alleged comedian, and Obama. They joked about Obama's third term and Obama the puppet master. So I just want everybody to remember all of these people who've gotten filthy rich, who had actual power over the Democrat Party, who actually could have said in a way that would have been listened to, hey guys, we've got a guy who needs his dignity, and we're the Democrats. We should control this, and we should get somebody different. And those people were on the payroll, and we were.
She was on the payroll too.
I'm just saying. I think it's. First of all, I will say this: it gets you nowhere to blame, you know, Mrs. Biden, who's a senior citizen herself. Poopy face as he throws a paper
Greg's trying to throw paper at Dawn through the glass window.
I know. Silly head. It gets you nowhere to blame.
You're going to die on this hill, aren't you, sweetie?
It gets you nowhere to blame Jill Biden. But where it gets you to say, what about the Obamas? What about all of these puppet masters who gained and, in fact, still have political careers? So you actually gain as an American by holding those individuals accountable moving forward. A lady who's a senior citizen and a wife who dealt, this was the hand she was dealt, whether you say she should have spoken up or whatever, that gets you nowhere because you have no control over the wife. But you have some control over talking about all of these people who were complicit in this cover-up, and namely as well, powerful figures in the media.
Yeah.
Can we play a woman flipping out at Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
That's way more entertaining.
We will get to that with the cut sheet coming up in a moment.
You guys want to blame the woman for everything.
That's true.
I blame my wife all the time.
We're a very sexist show.
I have no sway.
And the men are the problem.
I have no stroke in my household. They don't even give me cash at my house.
Wow.
I don't have access to passwords. My wife won't even let me go out for the mail. She goes
what?
Out. I'm just kidding. Playing radio. All right. Let's
neutered Nick.
Yeah, that is correct. I'm going to change that to my Twitter handle. All right. Let's go down to Florida because I know if Tony Bruno ever lost his fastball, Miss Robin would not be trotting him out on a Wednesday morning. Hello, sir.
Good morning. And thank you for joining. Dawn, I know you're getting killed in the chat.
Yes.
And I know that's not important to a lot of people, but it starts with Dr. Jill. Can I still call her Dr. Jill? And it starts with Mayor Pete growing a beard and going out there and
Mayor
sputtering
Pete.
Nonsense. And by the way, yes, I take Robin everywhere with me, but she bosses me around. I'm not a cuckold, so to speak, but I am a guy I listen to her. I listen to her, but she's not the boss of me. That's Dr. Jill, Dawn. She is. Why does she have to go on The View with him? That's the question.
Yeah.
If she's not controlling him, why is she on The View trying to make sure that he says the right stuff? It's embarrassing.
All right, I want to move on.
I would have known the big take would have taken up the first half of the show, I wouldn't have wasted another hour preparing a show sheet.
I'm just saying, rather than blame the babysitter, Chief of Staff Jeff Zients, let's blame all those power brokers, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. There are a lot of people who are going, you're going to hear their names and remember each and every, and what about the Obamas? All of these people were complicit. I'm simply saying in this debate right here, to blame a senior citizen lady who you're not really going to hear much from because she's home still babysitting and changing her husband's diapers, where does that get you? It gets you nowhere. Hold these people accountable, America. All of these other people, they benefited from this, and they continue their political careers. So I'm just saying she's low on my list.
All right.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Greg Stocker,
yeah.
It is 7:49.
Wow.
And believe it or not, there are actually other stories out there.
There are.
Let's
get to it.
Keep your eye on the ball, people.
Yes.
What?
Not the cuckold. It's
my ball right here. What's on the cut sheet on this
Wednesday?
Thank you. I'm just doing a little dramatic pause. You don't need to finish my sentences.
Wednesday.
Love. My love.
Sorry, baby.
Dawn, when I...
I'm not doing his cuckold either,
baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's get back to the oligarchies.
All right, let's just put a bow on this. Mark Halperin, I've been teasing this since 6:02. Mark Halperin said that this is 28, Phil, I think it is 28. Yeah, he says that in 2017, just after he left the White House, he saw him do a book appearance, and he was a train wreck. Meaning Joe Biden. Roll this.
I continue to laugh when I hear people say we didn't know and. It was, we only had a hint of it, or we saw it in the debate, but not before. That's something reporters sometimes say, and a lot of Democratic officials say. It's a farce. So I've covered Joe Biden and know Joe Biden for pretty much my whole career. And in 2017, just after he left the White House, he had a book out, and he was on a book tour. And I saw him do a book event, very friendly interviewer, big crowd, and he was... a train wreck. He was glassy-eyed. He had trouble following the conversation. He talked it hauntingly. Again, this is 2017, long before he ran for president in 2020. And I said after the event, thank goodness Joe Biden's out of office. Thank goodness he's no longer going to be in public life. And how could his family and his advisors possibly let him go on a book tour when he was in no position to be on the public stage? 2017. Now, I'm not a doctor. I know Joe Biden decently well, but there are plenty of people who know him better. I couldn't believe he ran for president in 2020. And so, to me, his mental decline was apparent in 2017. And now what you have is a bunch of people who say it was only apparent to them on the day of the debate in the 2024 campaign.
Well, that's pretty amazing, is it not? I mean, less than a year removed from being Obama's vice president, less than a year into Trump year one, term one, and Halperin could see that he was a shot fighter. And it took the June 27th, 2024 debate for it to become a finality. 7 years. Pretty remarkable.
I got to blame the media and the fact that Jake Tapper is still out there.
The worst.
Pimping his book. They're the frauds. Yep. The entire media is the frauds. You know, the cheap fakes and the deep fakes and all the other stuff. The media is the most complicit because they ran the cover. 2020, remember it well. Joe Biden with the Jeeps and circles in Wilmington. They didn't want him out anywhere. They single-handedly carried him. And the media, once he won, they were carrying him every day. They were covering up for him. And the fact that Jake Tapper is still employed at CNN is the biggest joke. You know, we talk about, you were right, Dawn, about, you know, all of his people, Zients and Jake Sullivan and all these other strappers. But Jake Tapper is an embarrassment. And the fact that he's still openly pushing his book, which everybody knew about, and then blaming George Clooney got mad because Biden didn't even recognize him. That's the point we're at right now. Instead of let's worry about the country now. Yeah. The fact that we're still focused on Biden, the only reason we're still focused on Biden is because of the media. The media is still trying to prop him up and not saying they didn't know anything. We knew it when we saw the campaign. They hid him for an entire year when he was running for president, and then they had Josh Shapiro and all these other states changing voting laws so they can find a way to slip him in the darkness of night at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what happened. But you know what? I'm glad that Biden won and he was exposed, because now Trump is back in and showing the world what real leadership looks like. That's all I care about. I care about having someone in charge who the world now is looking at and saying, yeah, this guy's no Joe Biden. He's a 79, whatever he is. He's out there running around 24 hours a day. Joe Biden is sitting in a sitz bath bed right now, somewhere in Delaware.
By the way, all of these excerpts coming out of Jake Tapper's book, and I'm not here to promote Jake Tapper's book, but it does come out in 6 days. And I say that because I can't imagine, I mean, if nobody's watching Jake Tapper on television, and nobody, and the lesser of the two here is Alex Thompson, a writer for Axios. But, I mean, if you're not going to consume Jake for, quote, free, and I know it's not free, we pay for it on our cable bill. But if you're not going to watch Jake Tapper, are you really going to pay $32 for his book?
I don't know, guys. They're getting a lot of play with this book.
Are they?
A lot of play.
Do you think it'll be like a New York Times bestseller?
Well, probably, but that doesn't mean much these days. Everybody's a New York Times bestseller.
Okay.
That's the most fraudulent of them all.
Really. Okay.
I'm a New York Times bestseller. You release a book and you could be a New York Times bestseller.
Okay.
It's all fixed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
By the way, Philly Godfather, our great friend, the gambling expert, local Greek guy, he sold more books than Jake Tapper. He's like number one on Amazon, for God's sake.
Don, please get off the YouTube chat. Please pay attention to the show. I don't need you. I don't need you distracted.
Get
pay
off
attention.
My YouTube chat.
Stop on the YouTube chat. Pay attention to the show.
I'm paying attention.
Thank you.
Wait, Harry May is just checked in on the YouTube track.
I'm a woman. I can multitask.
Yeah. Oh, Harry's in there too?
Harry says strapper reference. It's officially Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Let's get Sean Farish in the chat. And everybody else that contributes to the show, we'll all just chat along together.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. I see Dawn's not listening to me. Great.
That's right.
Duly noted. Duly noted, sweetie.
Look, I'm a woman. I can multitask.
Jelly Belly Pritzker. This is cut three. This said,
<Jelly belly. laughs>
said by the way, somebody said that when he speaks, somebody should superimpose like, you know, flatulence and like gas noises and belly rumblings.
Do you remember the two fat twins on the bike in the 70s in those commercials?
Yeah.
That reminds me. It looks like Jelly, J.B. Pritzker and Chris Christie going on the Bend to the Shore bike ride.
Is that Sloppy Chris Christie?
That is Sloppy Chris Christie, and I would play the drop, and I'd have to flip back six different pages.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
There he is.
He says that Biden should have either run the full 2024 campaign or dropped out before the party primaries. Cut three.
How much responsibility do you think President Biden bears for the second presidency of Donald Trump because of his refusal not to run?
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Isn't this wild, by the way?
That his pouch is basically next to his coffee cup on the table?
I know. Do we have to sit him sideways? Wow. That side view is not flattering.
No, the fact that, we kind of called this, but, the fact that the media is just throwing Biden under the bus.
Of course.
He was beloved. Yeah. Beloved. And now they're like, hey, does Biden bear responsibility for Trump?
But it's just like all the hit pieces on Fetterman. It starts with one, and then everybody starts, you know, regurgitating the same talking points. This started in the media with Joe late 2023, early 2024. It started with a New York Times article, and then everybody basically picked up their own version of it. And that's what they do. Once it becomes indefensible, they all jump on the bandwagon and pile on.
All right, keep going.
Think posed the right way. What I mean to say is, look, all this stuff about his health or, commentary that people are making in books, frankly, that's very backward looking. I think the one thing that I would say is that certainly either he needed to be the Democratic nominee as he promised he would be, or he needed to drop out before the Democratic primaries, right? You can't have, and I learned this when I ran for governor, if you're going to have new people running, right, you've got to be able to run in a set of primaries so people can see you operate. They get to know you during a set of primaries. Remember, when he dropped out, when Biden dropped out and essentially asked Kamala Harris to step up, which was the right thing to do if he's going to step away, people didn't know who she was. And with 108 days left, it was near impossible for her to introduce herself. If you asked 100 people on the street, do they know who the vice president is? Most people have no idea. And they didn't know much about Kamala Harris, honestly. You and I do, and people who follow politics do, but most people don't. Maybe 5 people out of 100. So she had to go introduce herself, tell everybody who she is, withstand all the scrutiny and attacks that were coming from the other side, and had only 108 days to accomplish the goal of winning.
Now, I don't know if she went on their hunt to ask Pritzker when JB first noticed or recognized any decline, or if he saw any decline in Joe. I'm guessing he will give spin and say he never saw it up until June 27th. But then again, JB Pritzker probably hasn't seen his penis in a decade.
A guy, right?
It's just, Trump's
talking about the fat. Trump's talking about the fat shot. And it should be cheaper. It's $88 someplace, and then it's $1,300 in New York. This is an oligarch.
Oligarch.
Yes, it is. It is.
He's an oligarch.
You're right.
J.B. Pritzker is a billionaire who goes oligarchy. And hides. And, yep. Oligarchy. He goes down to his mansion here in Florida and hides. He can't afford the fat shot. Look at that guy. That guy wants to be president. Look at these clowns who Mayor Pete, who can't even grow a beard.
Oh boy, here we go. Hey, I can't grow a beard either, Tony. Don't discriminate.
I only can grow this part of my beard, just the front part.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to run for president. By the way, the guy Mayor Pete, who was the transportation guy worrying about racist bridges, now all of a sudden he's now blaming Trump and Sean Duffy for the problems at Newark Airport and in our and all the airports around America.
Yeah.
Because, in 3 months or 4 months, 5 months, you're supposed to be able to fix something that's been broken for decades.
I'm also surprised, speaking of Pritzker and being fat and taking the shot, Trump said something to the effect of one of his good friends is, quote, taking the fat shot. There are people saying that it's Elon Musk that is taking the weight loss shot, to which I'm thinking, I never really considered Elon Musk to be remotely fat. I don't even know that by BMI standards that he's fat.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that it's Musk on the weight loss shot. I'm like, why? I mean, he's got a little jiggle, Musk. But he's not fat.
No, it's not Musk.
Okay.
Cut 4 here. Casey Hunt to Chuck Schumer. Did you really not have any idea Biden was not fit to serve a second term? It's unbelievable. This mm-hmm. It's May of 2025.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were all these reporters then?
They're on a 3-year delay. They're on a larger delay than we are on radio.
And if you went and I'm sorry,
they're being puppeted as well. By the way, Elon Musk in 2024 lost 40 pounds. There was an article in the University of Maryland, and he did indeed fast, exercise, and Manjaro.
Oh, 40 pounds. Yeah, that Manjaro.
He went from 250 to 210.
So
that's good.
Is that what is
Manjaro?
What is Manjaro?
Don't they have that at the Oligarchy, Olive Garden? Manjaro menu.
That's today's special.
Manjaro.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Cut four, Phil.
You sat next to Biden in the Oval Office February 27th, 2024, just a handful of months before the president took that debate stage. And it was later reported that you and other Democratic leaders were talking before the debate about having a plan. You and Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama. I understand you later denied that that ever happened. But I am curious, I'm interested to know whether the man that you saw sitting there on that couch on that day, you were in there, you saw him up close and personal. Did you really not have any idea that he was not fit to serve a second term?
Casey, we're looking forward. We have the largest Medicaid in front of us. We have the whole federal government at risk.
You're facing all of this because you lost a presidential election. And is that not Joe Biden's responsibility for deciding to run again?
Wow. We're looking forward.
Wow.
That's
it?
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
all right.
It.
Senator that's Chuck it. Schumer, I know you got to go.
Oh, my God.
It takes courage to call a spade a say, call a spade a spade and call things out when nobody else is willing to do it. These people, in my opinion, Casey Hunt, you don't get an ounce of credit. Yeah, that's like saying I knew the Eagles were going to win after the game was already over. Did you make a prediction? Yeah. Did you go out on a limb before? No, you didn't. And by the way, Chuck Schumer, this is a man who tried to melt cheese on a frozen beef patty on a grill before the burger was even thawed.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear from Chuck.
The entire media, obviously CNN is beating the drum for Jake Tapper's book, Jake Strapper, I refer to him as.
That's right.
He'll always be Jake Strapper to me. But the fact that everybody, even the Lester Holt was promoting the book last night. So they got the entire media, who was complicit in covering up Joe Biden, now trying to sell a book for Jake Tapper, who still somehow has a job at CNN, even though nobody watches him.
Yeah. Can we stay on this theme of hating the media? Remember on April 4th?
Absolutely.
Remember on April 4th, this is Cut 12, Phil, when Jim Cramer warned of a 1987 Black Monday-style market crash?
Yes.
For those of you who don't remember, we called this out at the time, and I said, I believe I said, because we played it on the cut sheet, Nick, if you remember, I believe I said mark the tape on this.
Mark the tape.
He will be 1,000,000% wrong.
Yep.
Roll this.
Doesn't try to reach out and board these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days, I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87, and in the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash. I know what this feels like. Oh, and if Europe moves against our fabulous tech companies next week, then I will be furious. That I promise you, because it should not happen.
So since the comment just over a month ago, the S&P 500 is up over 16%. If you sold on April 4th, by the way, listen to Jim Cramer. If you sold on April 4th, you missed out on some of the greatest one-month gains ever.
I'm going through. We've got all of our house stuff finalized for the big move later this summer. And
congratulations.
Thank you. My financial.
The big move. Is that will that be on the big take? Will the big move be on
yeah.
the big take?
Should be.
Yeah, we're going to actually roll clips of me moving couches across floors and marking up walls and having my wife throw a dustpan at me or something. Yeah, it's going to be great. But our financial guy said, I need all your 401k stuff. And the point of this conversation is I don't ever hardly ever check my 401k because I'm not doing anything with it for years. And I looked yesterday because I had to give him some data, and my 401k is up 11.8% since April 30th. So for all of you out there that were panicking over your 401ks when you're not even touching it till you're in retirement or 59 and a half or 65 or whatever, just whatever Jim Cramer says, do the opposite. If he tells you today's Wednesday, assume it's Thursday. If he says you
another
need to lose,
Philly, yeah. another one. Embarrassment Philly guy, another yeah. national embarrassment Philly but,
yeah.
guy
yeah.
on national TV. This is a guy that had to be scolded
yep.
on national television after the 2008 crash. When he was responsible for it, and now he's out there boasting and hitting. The only thing he does that I actually somewhat like is the sound effects.
Yeah.
You know, he hits the buttons and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
That's what he should do. He shouldn't talk. He should just hit his sound effects.
Well, let's go through this.
Belching sounds. Yes.
Local people. We have Dr. Jill, Philly girl.
Right.
Joe Biden.
Loser.
Delaware. Scranton. Kristen Welker.
Loser.
Philly girl.
Loser.
Jake Tapper.
Jake. Loser.
Jim Cramer. Who else in the mainstream big time media has Philadelphia ties? Who am I missing here? I'm going to put this list together of Philly strappers.
Andrea Mitchell.
Is she a Philly girl?
Yeah.
Andrea
Mitchell? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She worked at KYW back when I was doing news in the 70s.
Okay.
They trot her out every once in a while now. They do. You notice? What's his name? The guy that NBC got rid of, the guy with the bad hair who combs it down
Matt
now.
Matt Lauer.
Who was their main.
Lauer.
No, not Matt Lauer. The guy who's still, that goes on CNN now. These people all get fired by NBC.
Chuck Todd?
Chuck Todd. Yeah. Remember Chuck Todd, Meet the Press? Now he's on CNN with Cassie Hunt at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Trying to save his career.
Yeah, he's picking up stringer work.
Somebody brought up what's happening at Newark and actually our entire airline industry, which seems to be. Hopefully you're not flying over Memorial Day weekend, everybody, because good God. Or at least not out of Newark. Sean Duffy was on the CNBC program. Let's start here with Cut 9, Phil, if you will.
Secretary Duffy, first of all, thank you for taking this seriously and working quickly. Obviously, this is something that's built up over years and even decades when it comes to the equipment that we're dealing with. If Newark is the worst place in the country right now, where's the second worst? And should we expect to see this happen in other cities across the nation over the coming months?
Great question.
No, listen, so we're starting to see cracks in the system, right? It's safe, but we should heed the warnings that we see with the equipment that we use, and we should fix it. A lot of Americans fly. And so to make sure that we have great infrastructure, that we lead the world on this infrastructure, I think is incredibly important. Newark is interesting because last summer, that airspace at Newark was controlled by the New York TRACON, which had LaGuardia and JFK. Last summer, they moved Newark down to the Philly TRACON, and that created a number of problems when they moved it. Again, they didn't harden the connections that were necessary, and they didn't move one of the systems that are necessary down to Philly. They're pulling that information out of the Newark TRACON. This gets really complicated really quick, so I'm sorry about talking about those things, but because of the setup when that airspace was moved from N90 in New York down to Philly, it created problems that we're now dealing with today. Had the work been done last summer up front to make sure that the lines were hardened and all the systems were in Philly, I don't think we'd be dealing with this situation.
Why did that happen last summer?
We fix it.
Yeah. What happened last summer? Who decided to not push that through? They didn't have money from Congress. What happened?
There was politics, between Chuck Schumer, the FAA, the controllers. The real problem was that they weren't able to get enough controllers at the New York TRACON that controls that airspace. There were staffing shortages, and I think the FAA thought that they would have better staffing options in Philly. It was a process that was going on for a couple of years. The move happened last summer. Right. People who did judge in the FAA, certified that the move should take place. The problem was they didn't do the precursor work necessary to make sure that we wouldn't have the problems that we're seeing today.
Just going beyond partisan politics for a moment, initially when this stuff started happening, the left wanted to blame Trump for the cuts in different agencies. Yeah. And then, of course, you have the bipartisan infrastructure bill of Biden from 3 or 4 years ago. But just think about multiple administrations going back 25, 30 years, Republican or Democrat. And then just think about how gentle and subtle so many things are that we've learned about in the last 5 years, right? COVID happens, upends the whole system. Secret Service, Trump, Butler, July, not nearly as buttoned up as we thought. We had this illusion that the Secret Service is the best of the best and nothing can penetrate the assets that they're trying to protect. Boeing's just falling apart. The FAA's a disgrace. It's amazing how many just different administrations or institutions in this country that we take for granted, that we just assume is the best of the best, they're a disaster like everybody else. They really are.
Well, by the way, Chris Matthews has been added to the list of disgraceful Philadelphia guys. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Let's go to
Luckily,
Jimmy
I'm still here.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Matthews. Yeah. No, that's his brother. That's his relative, right?
Yeah. Who called in?
By the way, the Pope's brother lives in Port Charlotte.
Luke.
He's the star of the week now. He's everywhere. Have you seen him, dog?
Yes.
The Pope's brother, who's MAGA, down here. I'm going to get him on my show. The Pope's brother. He's got a great tan.
Lou.
And Yeah. The other brother, not the one in Chicago. This is the guy down here.
Yeah, his name's Lou. Lou.
Not Big Lou.
Right.
Big Lou.
He's on social, too.
He's got two.
One more from Duffy. He says we're 3,000 air traffic controllers short. Oh, good.
Well, that'll be buttoned up in a week.
Great. Seriously, if you're flying out of Philly, you know, Memorial Day weekend, maybe drive.
Yeah,
maybe drive.
Or if you're in the market for a job,
I'm just saying,
you can scoop up a nice six-figure gig if you're able to handle that pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, roll it.
Right.
Secretary, the FAA told the New York Times that as few as three air traffic controllers were scheduled to work last night directing planes in and out of Newark. And at some points, there was just one fully certified controller on duty. There were delays of up to 7 hours yesterday. How is that possible? Is that true?
Yeah, listen, we're 3,000 air traffic controllers short. It's going to take time to train up those controllers. Let me just explain, one quick thing. If you have a controller who, say, works in the D.C. airspace, they've been in the job for 20 years, they're experienced. If you move them up to Newark, it takes them almost a year to get trained up on that specific airspace. So I just can't move controllers around the country and fill the gaps in Newark. It's a specifically trained controller that can work that airspace. And so when we had, air traffic controllers after the system went down a couple weeks ago that took leave because they were stressed out, that puts more pressure on the system. We had a few additional situations last night. And again, what we do is we will slow down traffic. You'll see delays, but safety is the top priority. And so if you don't have the controllers to navigate the airspace, you slow the airspace down. Or if it's not safe, you shut the airspace down. That's what we do. And so you might complain about delays, which I agree, traveling with a family in this environment is challenging. But in the end, I want to make sure you get to the place that you're going and you get there safely.
Well, when Sean gets home this weekend and flies back to see his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox and Friends Weekends, you think he's going to sit there and say, I can't believe I gave up that nice, cushy TV gig and that salary for this S show? 3,000 short.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen overnight. Crazy. That does not happen in just one presidential term. That is neglect. You talk about waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, I need to understand how we arrived at the point where 3,000 short. I thought we had a police shortage in some of these municipalities.
The fact that Mayor Pete is out there regaling all of these housewives somewhere, wherever he was appearing the other day with a bad beard and not embarrassed about the racist bridges. What did he do? The infrastructure bill, all this money. They did nothing. They did nothing with the money. And then the mayor of Newark is too busy trying to break into a detention center with the rest of these grandstanding morons. Look at all the people in power in New Jersey. You got the mayor of Newark. He wants to be the governor of New Jersey. Then you got the, what's his name, Cory Booker. Is he up there in Newark?
Yeah,
isn't that his area? Yeah, he's out there crying about drug prices. Now that Trump said he wants to lower drug prices, now he wants to lower drug prices.
Yeah.
These are the people who are in charge of northern New Jersey, and they're doing nothing but protesting every day. That's what they do.
And I think about this as well with what Duffy just said there. It's not like he can rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. Even if you're really good, you've been doing it for a quarter century, you're making $200,000 a year, you can't even go to your boss and say, hey, for a raise, I'll go fix up and clean up with all the mess in Newark. Even if you're skilled and gifted beyond belief and qualified, according to Duffy, to go run Newark, you have to have a year's worth of training to understand the lay of the land in the air, so to speak.
What I don't get is that I'm looking at 1 year ago, there's an article on CNN, May 14th, 2024, the headline CNN, FAA still short about 3,000 air traffic controllers, new federal numbers show. So if they knew this exactly 1 year ago, and it takes a year to train the people in, either they weren't doing that, or they've lost more people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what has been going on?
So they knew this, but they didn't know that Joe Biden had dementia. Very interesting.
I wanted to get to this yesterday, and I never did. This just verifies everything that Dawn Stensland says. That is correct. Tim Tebow was on the Sean Ryan podcast, and he shared a map showing 111,000 IPA addresses that downloaded child porn, and it's not porn, it's child abuse, of kids under the age of 12 in just the past 30 days. So, Don, when you say you see pedophiles around every corner...
See? Told you.
I mean, look at this map. You have to see this map. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Roll this.
I brought a map to share with you. Is this map? Every
look at that map.
On that. Oh so God. First of all, that is a
looks like a Verizon wireless coverage map.
Map. It's called the Red Dot Map. And every this is over the last 30 days, and every red dot on that map is at least one unique IP address.
Can we pause that?
Yeah.
Pause that.
Individuals
bring it back
downloading,
to get the map.
Sharing, distributed.
Let me see if we can just give me a close-up of the map. Just go back and give me the map.
There you go.
Right there. That map. I mean, look at the disparity from the center of the country to the right.
Yeah.
Like the East Coast, especially.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
My God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's more people.
Yeah.
No, I know. But I mean, look at the disparity. I mean, it's just. Yeah,
you know who's not running that? You know who's not running that video?
Who?
The sports networks. Because Tim Tebow is a guy they don't like because he's Christian and he's, you know, he helps people.
Yep.
And he works on college football during the football season. But when he goes and does stuff like this and exposes what's going on out there, he's not getting any mentions.
Nope.
You think ESPN or Fox Sports One or any of these other sports networks spent 1 second on this story?
Well, forget the sports networks. Why would he not be booked on CNN today or MSNBC or Fox News?
Because they're trying to sell Jake Tapper's book.
I mean, this, with all due respect to the Sean Ryan podcast, maybe I should know what it is. I don't know what the Sean Ryan podcast is.
He does a good job.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll a little bit more.
He doesn't wear socks, though. That's good. You know the weather's warming up, but the guy's not wearing socks or wearing shoes.
I'm not wearing socks. I'm in flip-flop
mode. Oh, this is crazy.
The flops are out,
it's
baby.
It's 60 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's middle of May.
It's 60 degrees outside.
Yeah, I don't control the weather.
And you're not at the beach.
Only Marjorie Taylor Greene has access to who controls the weather.
Oh, I keep going.
Downloading, sharing, distributing child abuse and rape images under the age of 12. And there's over 111,000 of them just in the U.S. of the last 30 days.
Wow.
And I just I
that's the ones we know
that,
about, by the way.
I think it brings to life so much of the evil that we're trying to face. And people will say, well, that's just over there and it's in those countries and it's all of those places. And it's not. Sean, it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
It is right here.
Yep. There you go. It's crazy.
111,000. Dawn has spotted out 61,000 of them in the last week.
That's right.
She sees them.
And those are
it is disgusting.
By the way, those are the ones we know about. You know what I mean? So I'm guessing there's probably more.
We have a real.
By the way, give Tim Tebow credit because he's sitting there. He's got a cup of coffee and water, and then there's a full stocked bar right behind him. See all the booze behind him?
Yeah.
And there's Tim Tebow.
No way! I'm drinking a caffeinated beverage with that selection.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring the show down. I wanted to get to that yesterday, and I didn't. Just to show that I know we kid on about pedophiles, but
you know,
watch your kids. Do not trust your kids, and make sure everybody who comes into your home, like HVAC, whatever. That's why I always say, like, make sure that company vets everybody and screens everybody.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, this is real.
Yeah, and to bring it to politics for a moment, I know, Pam Bondi's got the Epstein files on her desk, right? You know, they're on the desk. They've been on the desk like a paperweight, like the red apple I gave my teacher in fifth grade. It's on her desk. It's been sitting on the desk. Here's what Tim Tebow should do. He should drop that chart right on Pam Bondi's desk and say, hey, tell Cash, get on these.
Yep.
And Cash has done some nice work recently with some of these stings. Well, apparently we've got about six figures worth of individuals that need to be sucked up off the street and thrown in a gulag.
In the last 30 days.
Yeah. In the last 30 days.
Firing squad.
All of them?
Castration.
Yeah?
Castration in the public square so we can all laugh at their wrinkled, shriveled up papers.
Stream it live. You can purchase it from the federal government website for $99.99.
Yep.
And millions of people, I guarantee you, would tune in because we're a gory society and use that to pay off the deficit.
We're going to need more prisons. I see now that our buddy up there at the Homeland Security wants to get Rikers Island and fire that baby back up. We're going to need more prisons. We're going to need more prisons.
We're going to need more bullets. We need more bullets. We're
going to need a bigger boat, Tone.
To put between the eyes of these psychopaths. You brought up the Pope, Tony Bruno. Sonny Hostin yesterday brought up the fact that we have the first black Pope.
Oh, yeah? What, did he get a little smoke on his forehead?
Well, no. According to Sonny Hostin, it's the first black Pope. This is cut 23, Phil. Roll it.
There's one other thing that's also very interesting to me, because President Trump, as you remember, called Haiti a certain type of country.
Asshole.
As it turns new American Pope has Haitian and black roots. So we actually have a black Pope. Apparently, it's like chef's kiss for me. So apparently both...
Chef's kiss for
Not one person in America or across the globe did the research on that, nor do they care about the revelation.
Well, remember now, on Friday, when the Pope was announced, she started condemning him as a white anti-LGBTQ plus guy.
Yeah.
She hated the Pope because he was anti-LGBTQ plus. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a couple of days later on Monday, he has family that's Creole, great grandparents, Creole and Haitian, and now all of a sudden she loves the Pope only because of his ancestry.
Here's my
that's the kind that's what The View is, and that's why we only watch The View for clips, so we can mock these dunces.
Yes. Here's my only requirement to be Pope. Just don't be a creepy pervert with kids and minors.
Thank you.
Just don't get involved in the sex stuff, and then I don't care what you do. Well, how about that?
I don't know if the popes are getting involved. But it's just the
or in the cover up, or burying information.
I want to get. I have a video that I really want to get Don's take on. It's a mother breastfeeding out in public, and I want to get your take on this. We have the entire video, but tell us about Chapman.
Yes, we got to talk about Chapman. You've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for years now. Well, if you're thinking about redoing your siding, right now is the perfect time. By the way, Chapman, they're currently offering 15% off James Hardy Fiber cement siding and or CertainTeed vinyl siding, both beautiful choices. Siding's not just for the curb appeal, as I say. It acts as that protective barrier in all the seasons, whether it's harsh weather in the winter, the spring, the summer, etc. So whether you want the fiber cement siding or the vinyl, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they've got you covered. Mike and Mark Chapman, they started this business more than 30 years ago, and they complete every project with such care and such precision. So just call them, text 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Take advantage of 15% off today. Experience the Chapman difference. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno is with us as we roll on 827 here on Kale and Company.
By the way, Dawn, this one's for you. Because Nick, Tony, and I can't breastfeed. This woman was seen. By the way,
Pete can though.
I don't know. I'll tell you
what. I'm sorry, Tony. You're right.
I keep gaining weight. I might try it.
So, two questions about this. By the way, YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. My first question is this kid too old to be breastfeeding? And second, look, I'm all for women being able to do this wherever they want to. I think I think, yes. You know, more women, as long as they are able to, should breastfeed, because I think it's the healthiest option for their child. There's so many nutrients and everything that the mother can give a child that regular formula can't. Yeah. I'll get off my soapbox for a second. But two questions about this.
Well, and also, to keep in mind, we are now circling back full circle here, because Dawn earlier was on her tangent about sucking on a teat.
Of the government.
So this is out at a restaurant. Full out. The kids out. Roll this.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
So change it to the
torque.
Right, because it just makes sense.
Jesus.
Okay, yeah.
Did the guy on the TV make the putt, though? That's what I want to know. The there's a TV on the background of golf.
Okay, we've got appetizers.
They're ordering appetizers.
We've got sear and sizzle.
Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, give me some of that milk right here. Hey, come on. Everybody's getting apps. We got the endless apps coming on Mother's Day. We got all the flowers on the table. How about a little bit of that that juice, Mom?
Jasmine Crockett's a total mess, isn't she?
Booby juice. All right, Dawn Stenslin, since we can't...
The booby juice!
Booty juice! Since we can't get into this because we're not women, sucking on that booby juice, what's the verdict?
So, believe me, you will guzzle. Full disclosure, I did breastfeed my boys until...
They were 12.
They were, you know, like almost two.
Yeah.
But look how...
Almost two. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so
that's not that bad.
That's really healthy.
Yeah. What's it feel like?
Yes, Nick.
I'm not being a pig. Is it painful?
No.
Do you suck it up just because of the nutritional value?
Well, at first it is, but then it's like Hannibal Lecter. The nipples get, you know...
All right, okay. All
right. It rubs the lotion on its skin.
Wasn't that the movie
with the
Hannibal
lotion,
Lecter?
Yes. Put the lotion in the handbag.
Yeah.
The body gets tough, you know.
No, that's a very, by the way, that was a very, how can I say this, for family purposes, it was her.
It was PG.
She was very engorged, right?
She is.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But here's the thing I will say. If you look at pictures of any Hollywood event, recently the Met, you're going to see just as much boobage, if you will. You're going to see as much of things, you know, hanging out and translucent material, and nobody really says much. God forbid this mom on Mother's Day is, you know, before lunch, and a lot of people have a little kid running around screaming, crying because they're hungry. Not her baby. Her baby is right there. He's getting his wonderful little milkshake.
He's a little old.
The healthiest. I bet you he's...
A milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
You think he's two?
I think he's just her healthy big boy. All
right. Phil, put up a poll question. Appropriate or not? I say
inappropriate.
No, I'm going to side with Dawn.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm going to say super appropriate. That's beautiful.
It doesn't bother me either.
Yeah. I'm going to go inappropriate.
You know, when you go to airports, now they have these lactation stations.
Yeah.
You know, there's like these little booths where women are supposed to go in there to lactate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want you to lactate wherever you want to, ladies. If I can take my shirt off in the beautiful Florida sunshine and expose my boobies, why can't women? We have the same
Tony
thing.
Bruno.
We have nipples. Men have nipples. Women have nipples.
Yep.
Why is it that a woman's nipple is offensive?
I
never understood that. How is that offensive?
Place of business. Why? I'm going to go back to the season 7 of Married with Children.
Stop!
1993. When the lady tries to breastfeed in Gary's shoes and accessories for today's woman, and Alan Griff say, "What in God's name are you doing?" And she says, "I'm breastfeeding." And he says, "Why?" And she says, "Well, he can't make himself breakfast." And she says, "He needs something healthy." And Al says, "Well, go down to the Dairy Queen and get an Orange Bang." Like, we have to take these women and let them go to their vehicle.
That was a lot of setup for
let them
not
go.
A great punchline.
It wasn't about the punchline. It's about the logic here. Not in a place of business. Go outside on the little...
You're not going to allow any women in any shopping malls or restaurants to women or teenage girls or college-age girls on spring break. None of them should wear bikinis. None of them should show half or more of their breasts
in public.
No,
I said breastfeeding.
Oh. Yeah.
You don't see the breath when they're feeding. The kids latched on there. You don't even see the nipple.
So when it's not just like for your little gratuitous pleasure to watch boobies, nice little young boobies hanging out, yeah. right?
Hey, look, if it was up to me, they would have breasts on the back as well.
No, but
four of them.
Look, I will say in general, is that my choice? You would not have known that I was even doing that except one time in church. It was, I don't know which was Michael or David, but like, because I always had like a nice little light scarf.
You were more clandestine about it.
Absolutely. You wouldn't even know
that's
it.
That's
but
the thing.
You
about
did hear
this.
At one point.
But in all honesty, I'm just playing along here, having fun. I would argue I would rather have a quiet kid in a restaurant, whether I'm with her or as another patron that's being breastfed, than a loud, obnoxious kid running around, banging his head, falling.
Let me ask you this, because that's a very good point. While I agree with Dawn that I have no problem with this, more mothers, as long as they can, I'm not shaming anybody, should breastfeed their child because it's better for the child. It's better for development. It's better for everything. Every scientist says that.
Yeah. And it's cheaper.
However,
it saves you a minimum of $5,000 a year.
However, I do think that in a situation like that, maybe cover up just a little bit. You don't need the entire shebang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Like well, to that point,
just a little bit.
You can see that she has other children because they pan out. Like
we go back to the freeze frame.
So
just
she has
so I can
a bunch of kids,
this.
And I do think there's a piece of this where you have so many kids. Like I know moms like that. Like they have so many kids.
Yeah.
They're with family. She's not, I don't think she's trying in any way to be an exhibitionist. She's just very comfortable in that moment, you know?
Exactly.
And she has a bunch of kids. It's not like, if it's your first kid, you're like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah.
But I think she's just like, what appetizers are we getting, guys? She's not noticing.
Phil, put her up.
Yeah, there you go.
The hell with us. Get our four boxes out. Throw her box up. Yeah, and a little over the top.
See, to me,
even money she has in OnlyFans?
No, we don't know.
And the good thing is, see, he's latching low, looking up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's what the thing is. You know, the teat is lower, and so the young man has to go up and get it. You know what I'm saying?
He does.
Breaking it down scientifically.
Oh, he's
tapping
it.
And I like there's a circle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Milk down.
Oh, yeah.
He does look a little old to be doing that. Now, to be fair.
No,
he's just a big boy. I bet you he's 23. I bet you he's 22 months old.
To be fair, because my son's a big boy, too. He probably was that size at 1.5 or 2.
I bet
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. By the way, the YouTube chat, the YouTube vote right now, youtube.com/@1210WPHT if you want to vote appropriate or not, 60% say no. 60%?
Wait,
wow.
Dawn's having a rough morning of takes.
Yeah. I don't care.
Oh, I'm with Dawn on this one. I'm not with her on Dr. Jill. I'm with her on breastfeeding.
Stay the course.
Women have to breastfeed.
Go for it. That's what we do here.
I disagree with the chat. I believe that. Get on over there and vote if you want to change this. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. It's coming down a little bit.
I mean, seriously, though, if you're there with your family two booths over, if that kid's quiet, nobody cares, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
We would all be ticked off if that kid was running around throwing micro machines and crayons, yelling about his iPad.
Yeah. I think of my dad,
though.
We're
throwing plates like at a Waffle House where they're throwing plates against the wall. You know, I don't want to see that on Mother's Day. I don't want
to
see disgruntled patrons throwing plates at each other.
We'll get to a disgruntled patron at Duncan. And we have another installment, Nick and Dawn, of Fight Club.
Oh, day two of Fight Club.
This is like day three of Fight Club.
Day three,
Tony, we're going to start a new thing on the cut sheet where I'm going to find a fight every day. Usually it's women.
I thought you don't talk about Fight Club.
You don't talk about Fight Club, but Fight Club can be sponsored. I'm talking to you, Rob Kluestein and Dave Skopinich.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody brought up Jasmine Crockett.
That was me.
And Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd, by the way. She was on the Chuck Todd podcast. She thinks Kamala Harris struggled with black men in 2024 because of her prosecutor background.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
Every excuse under the book.
21, Phil. 21, if you have that. 21.
Jasmine Crockett. Well, Jasmine's
how
a lawyer.
How long do you think this black men voter issue with Kamala Harris, how much of that do you think was specific to hesitation of voting, a black man hesitating to vote for a black woman?
Ugh.
I will tell you what I was told, because I did think that I definitely think that there was misogyny in this across the board, no matter what color male you're talking about. I just think that you'd be in error to not like know that there was misogyny.
Can we just stop this real quick? So she says misogyny across the board. Do you really think any elected politician on the Democrat side that plays the identity politics card as their identity for their political career? Let's say Kamala Harris, in a hypothetical, was running against a black man, and she lost. Do you think left-wing politicians and left-wing media would argue that Kamala Harris lost because of sexism to a black Republican man? Do you really believe that? You do? I mean, like, can you imagine trying to sell that?
All you have is race.
Right.
When all you have is the race card.
Yeah, what if the nominee was Tim Scott? If it was Tim Scott or Ben Carson representing the GOP against Kamala Harris, could you imagine dying on that hill?
They would say Tim Scott is is an Uncle Tom.
Right.
You know, if it's a black conservative, the black conservatives are Uncle Toms.
Let's go to a Democratic primary. Two Democrats head to head, and the Democratic primary is black man versus black woman. Is it sexism then if the black man prevails? Ridiculous.
Of course.
The bottom line on her is that, and I don't know what, we will find out someday, whatever medication, maybe it's a prescription she takes for anxiety or whatever.
You're talking Kamala, not Jasmine.
Yeah, Kamala, not Jasmine.
She's on something different.
Yeah, but Jasmine is, at least she's on her point. You know what I mean? It's a progressive point that none of us, I mean, sometimes she says things that are ridiculous, but with Kamala Harris, we've talked about it. Like Greg called, what did you say? I mean, she was like the person who was getting sloppy at the party.
Yes.
And her speech seemed thick.
Yeah.
And this was going on for a long time. And even there were Democrat audiences where she would, I mean, they kind of looked at her strangely and said, what is she? And she did that weird,
Yeah.
And it was inappropriate and it was bizarre. So she was just overall a horrible candidate. Remember in Delco when CNN had that? Remember that? I think you did a big take on it at the time, Nick. Remember that? The panel in Delco?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, Democrats, some of them. And they were like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of them even said the quiet part out loud. I don't know if I can vote for her.
Right.
Maybe I won't vote at all.
Yeah.
You know, she was a disaster.
Nope. Yeah, you're right.
Speaking of voting, though, folks, let me say this. As someone who voted in the last election in the Larry Krasner campaign, and I voted against him. Carlo Vega. Remember Vega was running against him and he lost?
Yeah.
If Larry Krasner wins a third term, Philadelphia deserves everything that happens to it when it comes to crime. This guy cannot be reelected.
He will be, though.
I mean, which also goes to show how bad of a candidate Kamala. The fact that Larry Krasner could win a third term just goes to show you just how bad. I mean, because he's atrocious. But how bad is Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
It's not sex. It's not race. It's everything. It's her speeches. It's her awkwardness. It's her policies. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. Nothing comes to mind on how I would have done things different than Joe. She swung and missed on every single thing she rolled out. Presentation, policy, personality. She whiffed on every category.
Yep.
But still got 76 million votes.
Yep. Let's get to Trump's speech, which I thought was, whoever wrote that speech yesterday, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, the speech.
Yes, I saw it.
There in Saudi Arabia.
I don't see the whole thing. I just see the clips at night before I go to bed. I just try to get caught up, and then I get up early and go through the, he's in Riyadh now. He's he's in Qatar today now.
Yeah. Embracing nationalism and non-interventionalism. I mean, like, to every libertarian out there, this is like a wet dream for us.
Calling out Iran.
So we'll get to that after Bucks County.
All right. First, let's talk some furniture, right? I'm having my house furnished. Maybe you're in the market for a piece here, a piece there, a room there, a room there. You never know, right? Bucks County Estate Traders, because if you're tired of the cheap, mass-produced junk, perhaps from China, Bucks County Estate Traders, the place to be. They have a massive showroom in Hatfield, 58,000 square feet. It's really impressive. And within that 58,000 square feet, 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley, Baker, and Henrodon. the kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time, and you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, if you're into the classic, the modern, the rustic, or traditional furniture, you're going to find stunning pieces that fit your home. Could be a dining room, home office, even that man cave. Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece has a QR code, which displays details instantly, and their expert staff is the best in the business. Swing on by. Even ask for the owner, Matt Stanella, my guy. No pushy salespeople on site, just straight shooters that know their stuff. BucksCountyEstateTraders.com. Swing on by in Hatfield. Tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno with us for a midweek, never-ending edition of What is on Old Stocker's Cut Sheet.
Trump went to Saudi Arabia. He's there now. The Middle East. It's a whole Middle East trip. Where else is he going, Don, Tony?
He's in Qatar, and they arrived. They had camels waiting for him there.
Wow.
They didn't have the big monsters, and they had camels, guys on camels.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday it was horses that greeted him.
Yes.
Backwards people.
And McDonald's.
And McDonald's. A mobile McDonald's van. Yeah. Yes.
So his speech, I got to say, guys, the speech yesterday, whoever wrote it, it knocked it out of the park. Trump is embracing nationalism and non-interventionalism. Music to my ears. Cut 33, Phil. Go.
And it's crucial for the wider world to note this great transformation has not come from Western interventionalists or flying people in beautiful planes giving you lectures on how to live and how to govern your own affairs. No, the gleaming marvels of Riyadh and Abu Dhabi were not created by the so-called nation builders, neocons, or liberal nonprofits like those who spent trillions and trillions of dollars failing to develop Kabul, Baghdad, so many other cities. Instead, the birth of a modern Middle East has been brought by the people of the region themselves, the people that are right here, the people that have lived here all their lives, developing your own sovereign countries, pursuing your own unique visions and charting your own destinies in your own way. It's really incredible what you've done. In the end, the so-called nation builders wrecked far more nations than they built, and the interventionalists were intervening in complex societies that they did not even understand themselves. They told you how to do it, but they had no idea how to do it themselves. Peace, prosperity, and progress ultimately came not from a radical rejection of your heritage, but rather from embracing your national traditions and embracing that same heritage that you love so dearly.
That is really well done, well written, well said by Trump. Now imagine sitting there and calling him Hitler or a dictator. Last time I checked, Hitler wanted to kill millions and millions of people. Dictators like Xi and Putin, what do? They go to war, right? China, Taiwan, Russia, Ukraine. All Trump wants is global peace. And that's why I think the deep state wants him dead. Not good for business.
Yeah. By the way, Trump has already arrived in Qatar, and he's at the royal court. And he looks up and he says, there's perfect marble, and he appreciates the camels. So that's what Trump does. He goes into these beautiful places. Mm-hmm. They have a transportation system that's like 180 miles long, and they built it in weeks. I mean, you know, they got oil money, obviously, but they spend their money.
Yeah.
You know, they have infrastructure. They're in the middle of nowhere. They live on top of oil, and they're getting all this stuff done. But Trump goes there, and he looks at the marble. He says, hey, that's some good marble right there. Now, listen, I know marble. Yeah. You want to talk about good marble? I know good marble. Trust me. It's the best marble I've ever seen.
The most beautiful, greatest marble of all time.
By the way, Tony, I said this at 6 o'clock. I feel very vindicated after speeches like this because I was on these airwaves 20 years ago, in this exact time slot. calling out the Bush administration and the people he had around him for all of these endless wars. And I was yelled at. I was told I'm not pro-American. I was told I'm a communist. I'm told this. And now here we are 20 years later, Tony, 20 years later, and you have a Republican president saying this. It's incredible.
Well, political realignment's a real thing. The parties have changed.
All I heard for 20 years ago is, America, love it, leave it. You don't support the troops. It's like, no, I don't support war.
Stocker has been here so long, there was a time that he was here and Joe Biden was coaching.
Wow. I don't even remember that.
I just feel vindicated. That's all. That's all I'm saying. We spent a lot of time yesterday about the Afrikaners, these South African farmers that were brought to the United States. The media is losing their mind, Tony, because of their white.
Yeah.
They're white. They're white, and we don't care about brown immigrants. It's the white. This is MSNBC's.
Well, can we condemn the Episcopal Church as well?
Yes.
I want to be the first to say, go to hell, Episcopal Church. You are scumbags. I will never, ever, ever even pay attention. Remember that woman who was in charge of the Episcopal Church that was anti-Trump?
Yep.
Yes. All of a sudden, now the Episcopal Church, refugees welcome. Now they hate white refugees from South Africa.
Amen.
By the way, we will get to the Episcopal Church in just one second, but let me play this MSNBC.
I will never get to an Episcopal Church.
MSNBC political analyst Donna Edwards, Roll 25, Phil.
Well, in my view, what makes it different is that they are white South Africans. The president, in my view, has not hidden his racism behind a bushel. In fact, you know, in his policies, whether it's removing government workers or in this case, admitting white South Africans while denying refugee status,
white
asylum seekers from other countries, principally Central and South American and black nations to come into this country.
Black nations.
And so I think that, you know, this policy, while it's not surprising in this action, really speaks of the underlying message in this that disrespects and shows disdain for people of color while embracing these Afrikaners now and also expediting the process by which they can come into the country while denying that same process to other refugees.
So, Tony Bruno, it took a white South African group of 59 people for Democrats to find illegal immigrants that they don't like.
Unbelievable. And these people are families. They're not like military-age men sneaking across a border.
Yeah.
49 people and they go nuts. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they sent them up to you think if they went up to Cape Cod, remember the women up there, and when our governor here in Florida sent up a bunch of people up to the Cape about 2 summers ago, and they went crazy and they got them out of there like in record time.
Yep. Yeah, you're 100% right, because you know what? If they sent those people up to Martha's Vineyard and Cape Cod, they would fit right in because it's all white up there. So people are like, oh, more white people, come on in. They only had an issue with it because the people that they sent up there were brown and black, as they call them. Brown and black.
See what happens when you play the identity politics card? And eventually you end up with egg on your face.
All right, let's get to the Episcopal Church. This is Bishop Sean Rowe, who said this about the white refugees fleeing South Africa. Cut 32, Phil. Roll it.
We can't be ourselves in the Episcopal Church and take the step of resettling white Afrikaners from South Africa. Our church has a long commitment to racial justice and reconciliation. And we have historic ties with the Anglican Church of South Africa. Desmond Tutu is a part of, a partner in this work for us. So we're just not able to take this step. It's not in line with anything that we're about. And
Tony Bruno, I'll let you have this one. You're fired up about this.
This is comparable. You know, the same people crying about, you know, the Saudi plan. Oh, how can Trump go and see the Saudis? They were responsible. That would be like saying we cannot accept any German people because of the horrors of the Holocaust anymore. And the fact that these white farmers who have absolutely been murdered and their land confiscated. Now, apartheid was horrible. They changed it. But do you think South Africa is in better shape now than it was? Listen, They made the decision. They're calling for the death of these white farmers. But to the Episcopal Church and all these other goody two-shoes morons, these people are 49 people, women and children and families, are now all of a sudden the enemy. The yeah. Democrats and their evil religious zealots. You always talk about, you know, the Christians, Christian nationalists, Christian conservative church people. We're the Episcopalians today. How can any Episcopalian put their head out and say, yeah, you know what? We're great. Come to our church and you're welcome here. Screw the Episcopalians. Screw every Episcopal church and every bastard who goes into one. Screw all of y'all.
Elon Musk, your thoughts?
Go fuck yourself.
By the way,
exactly.
Road Warrior sent us all a tweet earlier today basically showing this video of all these white crosses in South Africa. They represent a white farmer who was murdered in South Africa. And there are I don't have the video, but there are thousands of them. Thousands. On this roadway.
You got the people in charge screaming, kill the boar, kill the boar.
Yeah, I saw that video.
And people are chanting, kill the white farmer.
Yes.
Kill the white farmer. Could you imagine that if the roles were reversed?
Mm-hmm.
You never saw any of that. During apartheid, you know, the white people, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I know that when they changed the rules in South Africa, all of a sudden the people in charge are now running amok. That happens in a lot of these third world countries. You know, but South Africa was emerging. Now South Africa is plunging back into its normal, nonsensical way of we got to punish people that we disagree with. They're punishing people. And 49 of these people coming to the United States is now a crime.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
And by the way, the government, the controlling government, they're African American. They're not African American. They're Africans. They're dark skinned. They, you know, the one chanting as far as kill the boers, which means the farmer. They said that they defended that, saying that's free speech. But understand, they are pro-Hamas, not pro-Palestinian.
Shocking.
Pro-Hamas.
Yes.
So part of what they're understand, Hamas is embedded. In South Africa right now.
Yeah. And by the way, for all these, you know, do-gooders out there, you're damn right. We're going to pick and choose who we want to come in this country because we want people who will assimilate and people who have the best interests of the country in mind. You see these roving gangs that, you know, were crossing the border before and compare that to these families that are coming across the border waving American flags. I'll take them I don't care what color they are. They could be pink for all I care. They have the best interest of the America of America and the American people in mind. Come on in.
Exactly.
We should. I want to get to a woman who's running amok in Dunkin' Donuts, but Dawn, tell us about Piazza.
Yes, and I sent you the chanting, by the way, Phil Almquist and all you guys.
So the chanting.
Tony just referenced. I emailed you. Okay, what are we talking about? I'm reporting news, opinion, etc. from the Piazza Premium Automobile Studio. We're all broadcasting from the Piazza Studios. And yes, I'm loving my brand new Piazza Honda HRV. That's how I identify a HRV, HRV. I'm loving it. It's so sporty. I'm no longer a minivan mom. But my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles, these are from today's top brands. I'm talking Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. And these models with such sleek new designs and innovative features are powered by the very latest in technology. Piazza has thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles, you know this. Piazza stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.